that, I was going to say, I'd like to tell you how I met Sarah. But that's already a squirrel, and we haven't even started yet. Would you guys be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sarah, are you cool with it? Give me. Okay. Okay. Can I do the whole version, Sarah? No, we're not doing that part, just the part. Because, you know, transformation is what it's all about. If you are what you were, then you ain't. If you have said yes to Jesus and your life has not changed, my friend, you might not be saved. Right? So that's just how it goes. I was told this week that we hear this around this church a lot. Say yes to Jesus. Okay? I was told that. And we do say that a lot. Because every day you have to say yes to Jesus and no to self. You have to decide every day, do I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, or I'm going to do what I want to do? I want to serve Jesus, or I want to serve self? The answer is yes. Say yes to Jesus. But it doesn't end there. Oh my God, I'm becoming a yelling preacher, and I'm not that guy. But I'm passionate about this. Because I want to say loud and clear, for 17 years we have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hear me? The gospel. That's what we preach. I've heard it out of Pete. I've heard it out of Barry. I've heard it out of Danny. I've heard it out of Rich. If you've heard anything else, it's on you, not me. Now that being said, there are occasions. Almost, yeah, I need to calm down a little bit. Who said calm down? Was that you? But I do need a water. I'm getting a little cotton. Okay. Thank you. Sarah said yes to Jesus. All those years ago, she is radically different and completely flawed and messed up. God, I love her. She's such a beautiful mess. She really is. And you think she's kind of messed up now, you have no idea. But Sarah, we love you. If you can't see Jesus in you, then they ain't looking and they ain't on you, and it certainly ain't on Jesus. It's not, because the way you carry yourself, I've seen more people complain about a mole on their arm than all the stuff you've been through in your life, thank you. And you've praised God the entire time, whether in want or in plenty. And most of the time you've been in want, and I've never heard you one time complain about the hand that you got dealt. I praise the Lord for that, and I commend you. And as competitive as you are, I might beat you there. You don't know. Right? So, I'm going to share that story for anybody who wants to know the extended story of Sarah and our relationship and her relationship with Jesus and how it all is tied together. Ask her. It's her story to share. And if you want, if Sarah, maybe we can do that another time if they want to share it. Because I'd love to share the story because it's incredible. Her testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if, again, I'm going to say it again. If you are what you weren't, you ain't. If there's been no life change. I had somebody the other day. Said this. I said, hey, did you say hey to so-and-so, the new person? Well, you know, no. Why not? Well, I'm uncomfortable, you know. Oh, okay. I'm sure Jesus understands. He's really concerned about your comfortableness. I imagine it wasn't that comfortable when he went up on the cross and put the nails in his hands for you, but you're too uncomfortable to go say, hey, we're glad you're here. It's great to see you. I know it's uncomfortable. It's a little weird for you to come in all by yourself, but nevertheless, you're here. And you know what? I'm glad you are. Is that difficult? Is that hard? Do I feel uncomfortable? Is that hard, guys? Is that hard? When you see somebody, hey, I'm glad you're here. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Hey, I'm definitely glad you're here in the back. There she is back there. I'm glad you're here. Definitely got baptized. Amen. That's a great step. Get baptized. I was like, oh, God, they're going to come this time? Amen. You're back. Amen. Right? You kick that devil in the head. There's another fellow we worked with for years. He's going through some stuff, but he's giving God the glory through it. He got that Lyme disease, you see. But he's claiming victory in Jesus Christ and not allowing it to keep his butt at home. He came anyway to give God some glory because he believes he's being healed along the way. How about that? Is that cool? Great to see you over there. Haven't seen you in a while. Haven't met you guys. I guess I met all of them. Praise God. Amen. Good to see you back in the back. Mom, good to hear. You know what? You right there, I recognize Amanda. There's my daughter. I love her. Just glad. I'm excited, okay? So we've concluded our sermon on series on unsung heroes. Thank you. So you remembered. I was testing you. See how that works? So we concluded that, and we're getting ready to, you know, go on a vacation, going to spend some time with Amanda and my stalker and his stalker. We're going to have a great time together. So, yeah, you know, Lincoln, he's not here tonight, so he's not stalking me. But, you know, kids say the darndest thing. And tonight, for tonight, and maybe in the next week or two, we're going to do topical stuff. Going to switch it up a little bit, throw some curveballs. You guys cool with that? So you may not know what we're talking about. Well, tonight, have you been born again? And you have heard me say that Charles Spurgeon preached the same message about being born again three different times in a row. I just can't believe he's just preaching this message again on being born again. And somebody, a nitpicker, you know what nitpickers are? They pick everything. Pick, 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 pick. When the kids were little, Mandy, you never had that. Your hair was perfect. We went to the school that there was some lice. So Lynn would sit and she would pick. Because our kids had lots of hair. Got it for me, actually. And so she would pick and pick and pick and pick all these things out. You know, that's neat when a mom does that. But when you're doing it, it's not so cool. Nitpickers? You guys nitpickers? Paul said, be a Berean. He said, be a Berean, go and look. But don't be a nitpicker. It's annoying, right? It's hard enough to do as it is. So we're going on this trip. And can't wait to go. Can't wait to get away, spend some time with my family. You know, Jesus should be number one in your life. Your family should be number two. And then everything else after that. And I've gotten out of sorts so many times. It's well publicized what happens when you get it out of order. I just encourage you, don't do it. You really don't want to go behind the woodshed. You don't want to. So I'm driving to church probably about a year ago. It's before Amanda actually decided to join Misfits. Everybody, it's great. It's great. I love it. You know, it's great. Our kids are joining Misfits. It's a little annoying with the stalker around, but I love them. Amen. Well, on the way there, you see, Ashton wasn't talking a whole lot at the time. He was real stoic. We had a couple of stoic people in the church. It's not, you know, but there's a lot going on behind that. And one of the benefits you have at this church is to allow me to not have a trash bill at home. And I bring my trash here. It's the only paycheck we collect. It saves me $30 a month. Sorry, Grace Halling, you lost a customer. But on the way there, I had this bag, and it was particularly stanky. It was sitting in the back with Ashton, who hadn't said a whole lot. And driving along, conversing with Lynn, probably asking her, what am I going to preach on tonight? No, just kidding. I don't do that. But I was like, I heard a Poppy did this. I was like, Poppy did this. I was like, what's going on? Poppy did this. I was like, is Rain Man chiming in from the back? What's going on over here? And he said, he was saying, Poppy did this, it stinks. Poppy did this, it stinks. Poppy did it stinks. He just kept going. I was like, okay, I did it. I owned it. It was me. You guys know where I'm going with this? At some point, it isn't your mama's fault. It isn't your daddy's fault. It isn't Uncle Fester's fault. It isn't the government's fault. It's you. You did it. And so did I. Right? You can get somewhere. That's like you can get somewhere. Now we're looking for a loophole over here. How do we get out of this mess now that we know that I did it? I'm the one that put Jesus on that cross. I did it. Lisa, you did it. Barry, you did it. Will, Lynn, Rich, Annette, you in the back, you did it. You put them on there, and so did I. But that's the bad news. You see, you can't hear the gospel, which is the good news, until you know what the bad news is. I just want to really just hear all the good news. I really like that good news, you know, scratching the ear stuff. That's what I want to hear. It's a really unpopular message. Say, hey, you're going to hell without Jesus. Did you know that? You are. Maybe somebody in here tonight hasn't decided to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, to repent from your sin, and then say yes to Jesus. What's up, dude? I didn't get a chance to shake your hand. What's up, bro? Got a good handshake. Shake it sometime. Wow. Must be for mom. You trained him well. Turn to your Bibles. Got your back, dog.
Thank you.
It's a good looking congregation. I think I liked it better with my glasses off, actually. Oh, I was going to use this, ESV. So, you know, the blame game is a funny thing, because the first blame happened in Genesis chapter 3. Remember that? You see, it wasn't my problem, it was the woman. And you gave me to her. Her to me. So first of all, you blame the woman. And then, you know how it was, God. Must have been the woman that you gave me. So it's kind of your fault. Okay? Never mind that you weren't doing your husbandly duties and taking care of your wife while she's out doing the nonsense, right? That's just a complete bonus. Has nothing to do with it, but it kind of does, because we're talking about personal responsibility and your response to the gospel. The good news, right? It's good news. Just so excited to preach the gospel of Jesus. Such exciting news. Acts. Now I've got some, is Reagan over there? Reagan, I got notes today. You've really grown and changed. Praise God. So let me give you the backdrop of what's going on here. Jesus has been, he's ascended. We're in Acts 2. Let me set this up a little bit. So at this point, this is probably 7 weeks after the rooster crowed. I don't have chickens. That sounds pretty good for a chicken or a rooster. Okay. One more. Praise God. So here he is, 7 weeks after he turned his back on Jesus, and he's going to give a message that actually institutes the church that we're today, right? It's a big deal. A lot of times, if I would have had those failures, when you fail, don't you just want to run away? When you fail and you screw up and you just kind of want to run away and stick your head in the sand, don't you? Just you and me, Tammy, apparently. Everybody else, but you know what? You have to face the music. And when you face the music and you say, Poppy did it, or I did it, right? So Peter said, you know what? I accept your forgiveness. And we know what happened with Peter. He went on, and he's Peter. Okay, so that's kind of what's going on here. The Holy Spirit had come. It had blown some minds. You know, all of Jerusalem had heard about this. There were crowds everywhere watching going on, and the winds came, and, you know, the flames of tongues. People were hearing, if you're Italian, you're hearing English, and if you're African, you're all this is going on. You're all hearing one language. And you can get into the whole thing. I thought that when the tongues came in, they were speaking, everybody understood what was happening. It was a big deal. This was not a small thing. Imagine going to a country where, or a place where 30 or 40 or 50 languages are being spoken. All of a sudden, everybody starts saying the same thing in the same language. Right? That's kind of what's going on. Okay. You could do it? I think I could do it. It's like, man, you're bilingual? I didn't know that. There we go. I'm going to pick it up at verse 14. We jump down. I kind of give you a abbreviated version of what happened in the first few chapters or verses. Starting at 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, this is when everybody's saying, they're drunk. They're all drunk. They're filled with new wine. You know, they're mockers. They're seeing a miracle, and they're attributing it to they're drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now remember, this is the same Peter that ran away from Jesus, did all the stuff. This is after Pentecost. He's filled with the Holy Spirit now. But still, there had to be a little bit of me. Really? You ever feel like that? Like me? How about when you blow it? You know, when you're just like, I didn't really treat that person right, or I just don't feel that... I don't feel very Jesus-y at the moment. That's a brand new word. You know? But you can run back to Jesus and say, will you forgive me? Okay, I don't even remember what we're talking about. Jerry, instantly, that's what grace is. It's amazing, isn't it? We don't want the cart before the horse, though. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. For another hour of the day, I can see that, but not now. Peter's actually kind of being funny. Not bad for Peter. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Let me say this. You know, I think listening is like a lost art. Most people listen to respond. They're waiting for you to get done so they can say something else. They're not listening to, man, I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what the preacher has to say. I want to hear what my mentor has to say. I want to hear what the Bible study teacher has to say. They're waiting for, just hurry up. I got something good coming. Come on. Get it. Get it. Get through. I got something to say. And they missed it all. And I think that happens a lot. I do it. Not like I got it figured out on listening. I'm working on it. I'm asking Jesus, help me be a listener. Give me the ear of Samuel. I want to hear what you have to say. Not only when people are talking, but when I'm reading your word. Give me a heart and wisdom to understand what you're saying. I think we approach the scriptures that way, and every time we read them, I want to know what you have to say to me. And then don't be too down on yourself. I was like, wow, it just didn't. You know? It's okay. Just come back the next time. Still listening. Anytime you want to speak, I'm ready. And then maybe search your heart. Is there something that you need to fess up before you're asking? If you're asking for ears, the assumption would be you have a clean heart. If you got some junk, it's like, I ain't hearing it till you take care of this thing. I've been telling you about this for a while. Take care of that and come back and we'll have a conversation. That's fair. Would you say it's accurate? Would you say it's fair? Okay. So he's talking about the prophet Joel. His assumption is they would have, now they didn't have a recorded word. He memorized all this. See, I'm reading it. He's speaking because he'd hidden his word in his heart. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now, you'll notice here that he's not saying how the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. He's not going through specifics saying, well, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that's going to happen. He's saying, if you can't see what just happened out there, did you see everybody speaking in the tongues? That's some of the miracles, some of the things that we're talking about, that Joel was talking about here. You should be seeing that. So he's not saying necessarily, well, this didn't happen. We're not talking about dreaming dreams. And he's saying, if you look at all of this, the bigger picture, pull the lens back, there's a miracle that happened in your presence, and you should have recognized it because Joel's been talking about this. He wrote about this hundreds of years ago, right? So they saw the same thing that he saw, but they're just kind of going, well, he was drunk, wasn't he? No, he wasn't drunk, or they weren't drunk. And the cool thing is, he promised he would pour out his spirit on all flesh, not just the goody two-shoes, because I know this church very well, and there are no goody two-shoes in here. Maybe one or two that think they are, but they're not. For all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. You know, R.G. Lee had a great message. Remember Bill Binney talking about payday someday. Someday when you stand before Jesus, there's a paycheck coming to you. And if you have not accepted Christ, if you've not placed your trust, if you have not been born again, have you not placed your faith in the accomplished worth of Christ, work of Christ, you will have to pay yourself. Clear? Is this clear? Seriously, is this really clear? It's not just to say yes to Jesus. Clear. Okay. I'm going to go back and watch this to make sure it's clear. There's no other way. There's one way to get to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. Through the shed blood on the cross, without forgiveness of sin, without the shedding blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You guys get that? Clear as that. Okay, now we can move on. So we don't want that. We want Jesus to pay our bill. He already paid the bill. The question is, have you been pardoned? The question is, have you let him pay your bill? Okay. And isn't it cool? He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Aren't you glad there are so many screw-ups in the Bible? I can't really find a whole lot of non-screw-ups in the Bible. I've been looking. They're pretty much all screw-ups. All of them. Isn't it wonderful? Especially for a church of derelicts like this. It's great. Great news. And I say that with all, you know, due respect, of course. Correct. I am the biggest. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. This is Paul. You know, if anybody had a reason to brag, it would have been Paul. But he said, no. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of them all. And the funny thing, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you walk with him, really you realize the depravity that resides in you. You're sleeping with the enemy, right? So every day you make a determined effort to say yes to Jesus and live the crucified life. You die to yourself, Galatians 2:20, it's Christ in me, living through me. I have died with Christ 2,023 years ago, right? I'm not wrong with the Zoom alt, so I'm not really good at math. I copied off Barry. There you go. Boy, wish I had a better, whatever. It's a whole other thing. Brothers. Thanks, Barry. Rocked that 1.3. Appreciate you. Should have had a better person to copy off. Don't copy, kids. Don't do it. First of all, it's sinning. Can we have a little fun at church? Is that cool? I mean, you don't want to, you don't think that you lose sight of the gospel of Jesus because of a little joke here and there, do you? Okay. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is here with us, or is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ and that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. Pretty self-explanatory, right? Hallelujah. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Peter knew. I saw it. And I know that a lot of people in there saw it too, in here. Let me talk in Peter's. I saw it, and I know that you saw it, and I know that you saw it. We saw it. We saw it. So there's no really excuse. You know, the thing about being born again and getting saved, placing your faith in Christ, in the atoning blood of Christ, you remember who you were. So nobody can tell you that I'm not born again because I know who I was. And I do think it's cool because on occasion God will show you who you are even while you're saved. This is who you are apart from me. Let you fall flat on your face and you come crawling back to that cross. Because a lot of times we leave the cross back at conversion. But thanks a lot. And you don't pick it up and carry it every day and deny yourself. It's a true thing. And I was glad my brother called me the other day and brought that up because I don't want to think anybody has eternal security because maybe you said some flimsy prayer 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years, you know, you maybe you're in a church that didn't preach the gospel, and all you heard, well, I just had to say yes to Jesus. That was pop fly, man. Right on. Chances are you're probably not saved. If you're what you were back then, you're not saved. We don't want to be that. You don't need to go to church the whole time. I mean, if you're going to sin, go for it. Right? If you're going to follow Jesus, go for it. Right? Don't spin in the middle. In fact, he said, I'll spit you out. I'd wish you were hot or cold, not just cruising, following, you know. Okay. We're all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of the Father and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And one of the enemies is death. How about that? You know what? I heard Adrian Rogers say the other day, and I thought about this. You get people will call you and they'll say, hey, will you add me to your prayer list? And it was like, wow, when you're, you know, yeah, I will. And when I come across remembrance, I will pray for you. Absolutely. Pray for pretty much everybody in here. I need to get your name so I just kind of, you know, whatever. Those that I don't know. And we have a prayer team that prays for you all the time too. But even then, there's gaps. But guess who's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, all day, 24/7, 365, and all of eternity praying for you. Isn't that great? Takes all the pressure off me. What they're gonna do? What is going on? It took my time. I got to go to work. You know, I'm a painter. I got a lot to do. I can't sit around and pray all day. But you know, I can brush and paint. I can brush and pray. You can work and pray. You can do your computer and pray. Every time somebody, you can look at a red light. You know what? That red light's Danny Campbell. Every time I see a red light, pray for Danny. Definitely pray for Diane. Double down on that. He's putting up with them. Green light, red light, stop sign. I don't know. Whatever your thing is, pick something. If it reminds you to pray. Paul says pray without ceasing. And I know everybody, oh, I do that, brother. I'm so good at it. Well, God bless you. For the rest of us that just kind of struggle with that, I'm grateful that Jesus is up there praying for us all the time. Right? Aren't you? Wow. These are the clearest doggone glasses for a buck, I got to tell you. Thank you. Wow. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, now, that's really the good news. It's really good news when you hear that, right? Now watch what he does. It's a little bit of a change. He says, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. It was you. Right? Well, they're kind of going, that's kind of a game changer. Really? I mean, everything was just going along great. We're hearing all these miracles. We're celebrating. And then you said that we crucified him. So how does that work? Because Isaiah 53, remember we did this, the message on Isaiah 53? And it said it actually pleased God to have his son crushed. It pleased him. Remember that? Isaiah 53, 10, I think it was. It pleased him to have him crushed for us. So how does that work? So he says it pleased God to do that, but yet it was sinful men that did it. That's one of those conundrums you get into, the sovereignty of God and the free will of men. It's running on parallel tracks, and I don't know how it works. I think the best thing to do there is say, thank you, Jesus. I'm too dumb to understand it, and not only me, most people are. So I'm going to go with you, Jesus, and I trust that God's hand was in the death, burial, and resurrection. It was his purpose, his intent before the earth was even created. Wasn't plan B. Like, oh, my God, did you hear? They sinned in the garden. What are we going to do now? Well, we're going to plan B out because they screwed it all up. This is what he purposed from the beginning that he would do for us. So it's up to you to choose. Isn't it great? What would you do if your son came home or your daughter? I love you. What would you like me to do? I'll go clean your room. Certainly I will. I mean, Amanda was very close at this. Just going to say. It was the other two I was worried about. Yes, Dad, I will clean my room. And who knows what kind of gestures they're giving to me behind the door. I know what was going on. I know. But you know what? He knows. He knows. You can break religion down to a creed and follow all the rules you want. Paul said, I'm more concerned about the circumcision of the heart. You see, God looks at the inner man, whereas man looks on the outward. You can be religious around me and Barry and Candy and Josh and all these other wonderful people in here. God knows. Remember the message Barry did? He knows. It's like, oh, he knows. We got a lot of confessing to do, Barry. He knows. Of course he knows. But you know what? He loved you anyway. While you were yet sinners, he died for you. We were still sinners. Man, we were enemies of God. Barry says, I didn't think we were enemies of God. Yeah, we were. We were enemies. That's the bad news. But he didn't leave you there. Thank God he didn't leave us there. Man, what would we do? We'd be pitied more than anybody. Paul says if Christ wasn't resurrected, we'd be pitied more than any man. I think I'm yelling a lot tonight. You know? Sometimes I yell because I'm passionate about it, because I want to get this. Yes? That's completely separate, Jeff. No, you used to work for us. It's different. Let's just be clear. The worst employee we ever had. In fact, this happened because of you. I had hair like him. Fired him 5 times. He was so good, but he just kept, get him back here. He complains all the time, but put him on that job over in North County. Maybe we don't have to see him. Right? But you know what? Something happened. You heard the gospel a little bit, even though we were stumbling and bumbling and doing a lot of sinning. You did hear the gospel. Yeah, call him later. They should be here, you know. This is a powerful message. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? Something happened. You got saved, too. We reconnected just a little bit ago. How about that? Now he's giving glory to God for... How about that? You see...
What are you going to do? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's dog and ease.
You see, when you come to Jesus, you realize, hey, I blew it. I have people in my past that I've offended, I've hurt, I've been bad to, I've been mean to, and we were mean to you too, dude. Mostly me, but you know. What are you going to do? I'm sorry, you're sorry, and now we're getting on with it. And now we're going to go on, we're going to do things together for Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the point. Okay. And you were a terrible employee, by the way, but very good painter. Thank you, Jesus. Right, that's why he works for himself, for sure. But you know what? That was then. I press on. I forget those things are behind me. I press on for the high call, see? Oh, while we're here. Fellas, could you put the first picture on the thing here? Look at that guy. You see, he runs to win, you see? He's running because... That guy right there? Now, I want to ask you a question. This is between you, Jesus, and your husband or wife. No, just kidding. It's between you and Jesus. I want you to think about your walk. Think about your walk. I'm blocking you off. You can't look at it anymore. Think about your walk with Jesus. Your response to the gospel, to be clear. Would you characterize your walk like that? Oh, where'd it go? You guys are killing me. That or this? Well, is there a G version? Okay, whatever. It's not the point. Just come on, you're grown-ups. Relax. I've been to the Vatican. I've been there. I saw that live on our 35th, whatever. So it was a big anniversary. Thank you. I was there. It's really neat. But my point would be, do you see what's going on there? Bring up picture number one, please. And if you put some pants on the second one. You see, he's racing to win. Okay? This, don't bring the other one up. That darn Michelangelo wrecks everything, doesn't he? You see what's happening here? God is reaching down out of heaven, just going, I love you. I care about you. I'm not going to let that sin get. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way for you to see me and be with me all the time. I want to be with you so bad. There's got to be a way. He sent his son, you see. Now watch. David's response, or the other guy's response to Michelangelo. And it's Adam, probably. Who knows? Okay. Just, okay. You guys, whatever. Just in case it offends your sensibilities. You see what's happening here? Don't lose the point in spite of the humor. Yeah. Thank you. That's what happens when you have young fellows with technology sophisticated. Amen. And we have other technology guys coming in. It's going to happen. Amen. You see, I'm looking back there. Okay. I'm looking. Mark, you're looking at me now, dude. You're with me. Okay. The point is your response to the gospel of Jesus more like that guy? Okay, it's cool. I appreciate what you did for me. You died and bled on that cross for me. And, you know, I just said yes to Jesus. See what I'm saying? Or you like that other guy. I understand what you did for me. I know what you did for me. That's my response to the gospel, that I couldn't save myself, and I responded by running my life and living my life like that guy up there. You guys need to decide which guy you're like. It's not on me. I can look around the room. I know a few people's walks, and I have my personal, and I'm going to say not a judgment. I'm going to say I have a personal assessment. That's my job. And I also know there are people around here that have a relationship that I would say has you've stumbled. And your response to the gospel is subpar. That's not my job. I'm just a preacher. I'm not responsible for your ears and your heart and your legs to do what you do. I can simply encourage you, and eventually, when you're not listening to the coach doesn't have much to say to you. Hey, good to hear. Make sure to drop $5 on the plate if you don't mind. I mean, you know. Okay? Can I say that? You guys puckered up a little bit? I hope so. There ought to be a little bit of puckering every now and again in every service, I think. If you're not puckered, somebody's not doing their job right. If you're hearing tickling ears all the time, something's wrong. Right? Okay. Now we're getting into the message part. No, just kidding. Just calm down if you're new. Just calm down. You see this word cut. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, right? So when you read the word and you're looking at your life and you're going, well, doggone it, I look more like that Michelangelo guy than the other guy, maybe I'm lukewarm. Maybe. I've been through lukewarm seasons. It's an ebb and flow. It's a relationship. Man, I remember one time, check this out. We had a conversation in men's group. Great men's group Friday, wasn't it? And everybody's welcome to men's group at Campbell's house. I used to get Cheerios and stuff over there. And then we get turned to a big boy church and we don't get it anymore. Now I remember when I met Lynn. This is a squirrel, but it's a good one. Oh, she was beautiful. Raven black hair and green eyes. I like people with tan. I got me a girl that gets a tan because I don't get a tan. I wanted to have a woman that got a tan. Thank you, Jesus. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right? And we were talking about our relationship with our spouses the other day, and I would say, you know, are you as in love with your spouse today as you were back then? I'm not talking about the kind of love that, oh, I just can't. I'm going to drive from Mizzou all the way home and pick her up, go out on a date, and I'm going to come back the next four nights in a row, bounce checks to get there, borrow money off Barry or anybody else to take her out to dinner, that kind of love. Or is it a more mature love? A deeper love? More respect, more love, long-suffering, more patience. 1 Corinthians 13, all those things. I would say that my love for Lynn is completely not like, I'm just, he's just so hot, I just can't wait to get there. There are times, that's personal, don't ask. You know, and there are times I'm like, dang, man, how did I get so blessed? I know. Sometimes we take them for granted, men. But there's a depth to our love because we've survived some hits in our relationship. We've survived the testing and made it through. Praise God. But sometimes it's like that with Jesus too. So don't mistake the fact that your relationship with Jesus has a depth to it that maybe it didn't have before when you were fired up for the Lord. What if it's just a more mature, deeper, long-suffering, patient, kind, all of these things with the Jesus. Yeah, and you love being around new believers because it remembers what it was like when you first came to Jesus. Isn't it neat? You see, some people want to throw some, but calm down. Just calm down. I've been a Christian for 275 years, and I'm telling you it's not all a party. No kidding. Why don't you just let them be for a while? Coach them, mentor them, love them, and all this stuff. But you know what? our relationship with Jesus should be growing and evolving. Our roots should be going down deep, Paul says. Deep, right? And how do we do that? Word. Fellowship. In fact, I'm looking for a good... No, just kidding. Repentance, confession. How about being this honest where you are? Hey, Adam, where are you? Jesus knew right where he was. He would say the same thing to us. Where are you? And more aptly, where's your heart? Is it with me or is it someplace else? He knows where you're all. He knows. Wait a minute. Be like Rusty. Oh, yeah. This happened. Okay. Chris Zumo made these. So when you're, it's a whole thing, guys. If you don't, I don't really know what he means by be like Rusty. Ask somebody that was here. And he would have been, you would know what I said if you wouldn't have skipped. Adrian Rogers says you're responsible for what you hear. And you're also responsible for what you would have heard if you were paying attention. I'm shocked sometimes you're going, you're kidding me? You don't know that person? That person is not new. They've been here for 2 years. Are you kidding me? Get out of your comfort zone and go say hi to somebody you don't know. And be like Rusty. You know? That's a bonus, but it kind of fit into the thing. Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you, Jesus. So, they were convicted. Now, when they heard that, watch this. When they heard this, that you crucified him. You did it. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It's like those Asian carp in the river. They jump into your boat. You know what I'm saying? I wore my fishing shirt. Be fishers of men. So they're saying, after he told them the bad news, they said, now what? How do we respond to that? You got to... Sometimes when you're fishing for men, Peter, am I right? You got to show them, especially good people, you got to show them you're not that good. You're not that good. In fact, you're not good at all. All your deeds are as filthy rags, according to the Lord, all of them. All your good morals, your good looks that fade, in case you haven't noticed up here, all of it is like rags. What do we do? Watch this. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, just a couple of you. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I had this picture. Man, I wish I could draw. Mandy, maybe you and I could do this. She's a drawer, you see. Here it is. 2023 years ago, Jesus comes here. The whole world's headed to hell. They're all walking one way. Down, 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 down. Right? Jesus comes in. Poop! What's up? He's walking that way, you see. Come and follow me. Oh, okay. Remember The Chosen? Have you seen that thing? Isn't that great? The little thing with all the fish spinning one way. You see, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Every time we talk about Jesus, he's going up. He's going up. He's going up to Calvary eventually, all the way up to that cross. So just picture yourself repenting. You don't just say yes to Jesus and everything's going to be great. Now I'm just going to say yes to Jesus and he's going to... Alpha, what's that saying you do? Kittles and butterflies? Lollipops or something? Yeah, it's not like that at all. Following Jesus is probably the most difficult thing, and it's actually impossible if you're not fueled on and for the Holy Spirit. You see, it's Christ that does it through you. You can't do it, and I can't either. I can't do it. Would you agree with that? Like that I can't do it or you can't do it? I know you can't do it, Randy. I know you. Ain't no way. Me up in here. You know what inspired this message, partially, besides the conversation? I appreciate my brother's counsel. I love him. I just love him, and I appreciate that. A conversation I had with Dr. James Sutton, who was a prisoner in Springfield Fed until he was born again. And now he's Dr. James Sutton, walking truth. One of my best friends in ministry, right? He said, you ever ask this? Ask your congregation what the gospel is. You'll be shocked at the answer. I said, no kidding. He goes, I asked my congregation, you know what they say? Well, my mama was saved. My daddy was saved. Been coming to this church about 10 years now. He said, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The good news that Jesus came and died for us on that cross, and all that place their faith in the accomplished work of Christ shall be saved. And then they'll get the gift of the Holy Spirit. In response to that, you be baptized. Two baptisms last week. Praise God. Amen. And even cool. Thank you. Hey, amen. I love it. It's an alive church when the dogs are yapping. Is Mitzi over there? Let me say this real quick. This is a bonus. I had a dog, Noah, 16 and a half years. I believe he was saved because he was, David has a dog that's not saved. I met him the other day, and I talked to him. Lisa was holding back, and she ended up like being dragged halfway across High Hill. And we're like, see you later. I just want to say, Dave, I believe Noah was saved. But we're watching Mitzi, corporal. Was it sergeant at the time or corporal at the time? Sergeant then? She got a promotion. Okay. Now we're watching Passion of the Christ. And, you know, everybody says, oh, my kids are so perfect. No, they're not. I met your kids. They're terrible and they're rotten. And a lot of people says, my dog is so anointed. He's this. Oh, brother, give me a break. But I'm telling you guys right now, Mitzi was sitting right here. We watched The Passion of the Christ. Remember who was there that night? When they hung Jesus on that cross, I'm sorry, when we... You, me, put Jesus on that cross. And they started hammering those nails. Old Mitzi about came out of her stuff, boy. She was yiping and growling at the screen. I was like, that dog's totally anointed. No doubt about it. Be like Mitzi. Screw Rusty. Just kidding. I just said that. Everybody calm down and relax. Oh, he said that. Oh, whatever. The heck, well, whatever. Just relax. You're a church, okay? Rusty's out. Mitzi's in. Rusty was a jerk, and Mitzi's awesome. I love it, Candy. That's funny. I can't believe he just relax. Calm down. I'll probably get some emails and text messages. The nitpicking patrol might show up. Who knows? Whatever. I don't care. Three things you need to do to be saved. Loud and clear. Recognize your sin. Recognize that your sin is the sin that put Jesus on that cross. Not your mama's, not your husband's. You did this. You did it. Okay? This is bad news, isn't it? This is where it gets good. I just calm down and relax. Let the seat, don't be clenching it so tight. Recognize your need, and then you repent. I turn my back on my sin. I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me, and I'm going to repent. You can't ask him to forgive you and continue walking in your sin. You can't do it. You need to repent and get away from it and go the other direction, right? And then be baptized in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Be baptized. That's your first act of obedience. Some people wait 40 years to do it in between. That's okay. As long as we got it done, sis. Right? Repent and then be baptized. And I think as a first act of obedience to your salvation, you see, baptism doesn't save you. I had an argument one time at a fair. Came up to this guy, and I thought he was a brother. He was a brother in Christ. You know, you ever meet arguing Christians? I just like to argue stuff. And most of them are smarter than we are anyway, so I'm not arguing with you, dude, but I'm about to, okay. I had to repent on that, see? But he said this to me. I went up, hey, man, it's great to see Christian. I'm glad you're here. I'd like to see you witnessing at these events and things like this. He said, let me ask you a question. Oh, here we go. Why do I always get these guys? You know? He said, do you believe you got to be baptized to be saved? No, I do not. Well, you're wrong. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but that's kind of how it was going. I was like, let me ask you a question. so dumb. It's not, okay? And you can go, you can have the thief on the cross. You can go on and on and on. You know, Acts chapter 8, you can do all of the stuff. But I asked him, I said, look at me, let me just paint a picture for you, brother. You see, we got a ministry called Misfits for Jesus and a bunch of derelicts in there. The biggest two derelicts are actually leading it. It's an amazing thing. You know, the chief of sinners. Anyway, let's say one of these derelicts recognizes their need for forgiveness. They recognize it, that they were the ones that hung them on the cross. And they repent, and they go the opposite direction. They turn their back on their sin. It was a true deal. They were born again at that moment. See, God knows. You can look at it and go, he's not saying, you don't know anything. Who are you to judge? But now, they set the baptism up for Saturday night, which is technically the Sabbath. That's not why we do it. We used to have church on Thursday or Wednesday. Anyway, on their way to church, tragically, they got killed. That's a makeshift. It's okay. It's just a story. It's a parable. It's not a real story. You see, they were on their way. They couldn't wait to be baptized as a profession of their faith to show the world that I got saved and I decided to follow Jesus. This is great. I want everybody to know. And they got killed in a car wreck. What happens to that person? Well, they're in hell. I said, brother, we don't have anything more to talk about. I'm done with you. And I took his head. No, just kidding. Anyway, Lynn's like, Randy, I'm about to. And then I had to repent right there, see? So anyway, it's amen and baby talk. So cool. So fine. We've heard amens and dog talk, amens and baby talk. Couple of amens and people, older people talk, amen. Now, after you do that, make sure your baptism is on the right side of salvation. What do you mean by that? Well, your baptism can't be before you were saved, you see. Some religions actually teach you get baptized early, and then later, you need to get saved and then be baptized. So Koss says, my buddy had heard from him today, he says he loves you guys. 37 people got saved in prison. Amen? He said, tell the mitzvahs, I got to go. Just called a little bit ago. That's great news. And he always says, make sure your salvation is on the right side, or the baptism is on the right side of your salvation. Repent, then be baptized. So if there's anybody in here that maybe got baptized as a youngster and later repented, see us and we'll talk about what it means. And we'll get it right. Three promises, blessing you get from, you get freedom. John 8:32 says what, guys? Harketh. John 8:32 says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So the first benefit you get, blessings, and this is just, how could you possibly limit the blessings you get from coming to Jesus and being born again by a number? It's infinite. Let's just take the top three, like David Letterman used to do, the top 10. Okay? You're free from your sin. You're going to be with Jesus forever in heaven. Right? You become children of God. Actually, John 1:12, I believe, says, all that called on the name of God, he gave the right to become children of God. Everybody goes, we're just one big happy family. We're children of God. No, you're not. You might be, in a general sense, be a child or created in the image of God, but you are not a child of God if you have not been born again. Period. Don't blame me. Pick this up and read it for yourself. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How about that? There's no possible way. This has been one rough week, guys. It's been a hard, hard week. It's been brutal. But, you know, it's momentary in light afflictions, Paul says. What we're facing here is momentary. That's no big deal. I mean, it stinks. Some would say it sucks. It's terrible. Right? But it's momentary in light afflictions compared to what we have coming. Right? Sarah? I'd probably quit. But the Holy Spirit has kept her going, given her joy unspeakable for all of these years, as long as I've known. I've literally have met a few people, and I've never met anybody like Sarah Carroll. The unequivocal, yeah, that's a good one, wasn't it? I dropped that on there. Biggest pain in the butt in the history of the ministry. But boy, do we love her. We have been through some stuff together, haven't we, sis? I think she just kind of gave me an amen while she's sleeping. Right? We've been through some stuff together. Because she decided to say yes to Jesus and repent from her sin and be born again. Be born anew. Born again means born from above. Not for the Holy Spirit, where would we be? We had a shipwreck this thing a long time ago. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We're going to land the plane here in just a minute. Okay, guys? And with many other words, you know, Luke is just giving a flyover to this message. This must have been some kind of message. You see, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is giving a flyover treetop version. Can you imagine being there? And with many words, he bore witness and committed to exhort them, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who received his word, were baptized and were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And the funny thing is, just being baptized in that culture, if you're Jewish and being baptized, baptism for the most part was reserved for the big time sinners, the notorious ones, and for Gentile converts. For a Jew to say, I want to be baptized, took a lot of brass. Right? Is that rain? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need it. Okay, now here we go. We're about ready to do it. I'm just going to finish this up, and this is very self-explanatory, needs nothing. Ready? The word is complete. It never needs anything. But this is very specific. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. Let me elaborate on that. I think together means a little bit more than Saturday for an hour and a half. Yeah, I've been real busy. I can't come to any groups. Can't come to any fellowship. Can't come to any breakfast. Can't come to this. Can't come to that. And you wonder why your life's falling apart. You wonder why you're losing ground. It's on you. You did this, puppy. You did it, not me. You see, we're here all the time. There's always something going on. And they devoted themselves, you see, to fellowship. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions, belongings. We don't recommend doing that. And distributing the proceeds to all as a need. We are very generous. And we're going to say something in a minute. Thanks for reminding me, Richard. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Now I'm going to say this. If there's somebody in this church tonight that has not been born again, you've simply said some flimsy, cursory prayer, say yes to Jesus, accept Jesus. You know, the bottom line is Jesus accepts you after your heart's been cleansed. After you come to him and you say, yes, Lord, cleanse my heart, he goes, now I've been waiting for that. Now we can come together, see? If you have not done that, then you need to do it tonight, nail it down, get Pete, get Barry, get Joshua, get Richard, get somebody. And get it nailed down. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not. And this doesn't happen by osmosis. You have to make that action step. You don't want to be like this guy. Whatever. You want to be like that guy. I want to do whatever it takes. I'm getting to Jesus. Please do that tonight, okay? Was that a pretty fair and accurate description of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we leave, our sister Sarah, that we love, man, we love her, and we believe barring a miracle, and we believe that Jesus could do it. I've been asking for days, just turn them kidneys on, just do that thing you do. You know that thing you do, Jesus, do the miracles you do. And I believe we still can see miracles. I believe that. But I think sometimes we're in the midst of them and miss them because we're looking at a different way, kind of like they were. I think it's a miracle she's even here tonight. That she wanted one thing. She just wanted to come to church. We can't beg people to come to church. Some people can get there. They have a good body. They can get there. I've seen her hitchhike. She drove me crazy. What are you doing hitchhiking to come to Misfits? I forbid it. Can I do that? And she came anyway. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to take that phone, girl. Where you at? But I'm going to ask you guys to consider if there ends up being a funeral service. Maybe there's not going to be. How about that? Maybe there's not going to be. Maybe we'll get raptured and we'll all go together at the same time, here, there, or in the air. It doesn't matter. So we're going to do a love offering for our sister to help her to pay the expenses, to take care of business if necessary. So we're going to, guys, if you could just reach in, and we've done this on occasion, and you guys have come up big for a lot of people. I'm not sure what a cremation cost. I think that's it's some bucks. So if you guys could do that, guys, grab the baskets, and because we love our sister, and when one part of the body is hurting, we're all hurting. Still kind of makes me angry that she's going to beat me there. But she might not. You're right, Candy.
I just told the balance on Sarah is $2,500.
Okay. The balance on the cremation is $2,500. Let me see, how many people are in here tonight, Cece? 81 people. If everybody gave $20-$30, we'd be there, wouldn't we? Everybody, we'd be there. Cece, is that right? Hold on, Barry, how much is it? He used to pay Jeff, and he always shorted his shit. No, just kidding. If everybody gave in $30, $40, $50, maybe she gets a little bit, and it ends up being more of a blessing. So I'm just asking you guys to do that. We need a couple baskets. You guys, Alpha, you know what? Give that to, can you come do a little strumming and give that to Randy? Give it to Randy right here. Martin, okay. I'll Fly Away. Can the band do I'll Fly Away, like off the cuff? Bam! Great job. That's awesome.
Impromptu song, huh? Huh? Yeah.
I don't know why y'all are still sitting. Thanks, Megan. I'll pray and we'll leave. All right, let's do this. Father, thank you for bringing everybody here tonight, God. Thank you especially for bringing Sarah. God, and even if you call her home, we know she's going to fly there quickly, Lord. God, I pray your holy hand just be upon her, Father. God, I pray tonight that you get everybody home safe, God, and your Holy Spirit watch over each and every one of us, Father, and that everybody knows you as Lord tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Do it again. Oh, yeah.